The Pilgrim's Progress. When we left off Christian in our last segment, he was at the House of Interpreter, and he was seeing many strange and dreadful and wonderful things. An interpreter then sent him on to get rid of his burden. And we continue. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called Salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty, because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosened from off his shoulders, and fell from off his back, and began to tumble. And so continued to do, until it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and with a merry heart, said, He has given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death. Then he stood still a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him, that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked therefore, and looked again, even until the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks. Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him, with peace be to thee. So the first said to him, Thy sins be forgiven. And the second stripped him of his rags, and clothed him with a change of raiment. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he did bid him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. So they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing. Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could anything ease the grief I was in. Till I came hither, what a place is this? Must there be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. I saw then in my dream that he went on thus, even until he came at the bottom, where he saw, a little out of the way, three men fast asleep, with fetters upon their heels. The name of the one was Simple, the other Sloth, and the third Presumption. Christian, then seeing them lie in this case, went to them, if peradventure he might awake them, and cried, You are like them that sleep on the top of the mast, for the Dead Sea is under you, a gulf that has no bottom. Awake, therefore, and come away, and be willing also, and I will help you off with your irons. He also told them that if he that goes about like a roaring lion comes by, you will certainly become a prey to his teeth. With that they looked upon him, and began to reply in this sort. Simple said, I see no danger. Sloth said, Yet a little more sleep. And Presumption said, Every tub must stand upon his own bottom. And so they lay down to sleep again, and Christian went on his way. Yet was he troubled to think that men in that danger should so little esteem the kindness of him that so freely offered to help them, both by the awakening of them, counseling of them, and proffering to help them off with their irons. And as he was troubled thereabout, he espied two men coming tumbling over the wall on the left hand of the narrow way. They made up a pace to come to him. The name of the one was Formalist, and the name of the other Hypocrisy. So, as I said, they drew up to him, who was thus entered with them into discourse. Christian said, Gentlemen, where came you, and whither do you go? Formalist and Hypocrisy said, We were born in the land of vainglory, and are going for praise to Mount Zion. Why, said Christian, came you not in at the gate which standeth at the beginning of the way? Know you not that it is written that he that cometh not in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber? They said, that to go in the gate for entrance was by all their countrymen counted too far about, and that therefore their usual way is to make a short cut of it, and to climb over the wall as they had done. But, said Christian, will it not be counted a trespass against the Lord of the city, whether we are bound thus to violate his revealed will? Formalists and Hypocrisy said, as for that, he need not trouble his head thereabout, for what they did they had custom for, and would produce, if need be, testimony that would witness it for more than 1,000 years. But, said Christian, will your practice stand a trial at law? They told him that custom, it being of so long standing as above 1,000 years, would doubtless now be admitted as a thing legal by an impartial judge. And besides, said they, if we get into the way, what matter which way we get in? If we're in, we're in. Thou art but in the way who, as we perceive, came in at the gate. But we are also in the way that came tumbling over the wall. Wherein now was thy condition better than ours? Christian said, I walk by the rule of my master. You walk by the rude working of your fancies. You are counted thieves already by the Lord of the way. Therefore I doubt you will not be found true men at the end of the way. You come in by yourselves without his direction, and shall go out by yourselves without his mercy. To this they made him but little answer, only they bid him look to himself. Then I saw that they went on, every man in his way, without much conference one with another, save that these two men told Christian that as to laws and ordinances, they doubted not, but they should as conscientiously do them as he. Therefore, said they, we see not wherein you're different from us, but by the coat that is on thy back, which was, as we throw, given thee by some of thy neighbors to hide the shame of your nakedness. Christian said, by laws and ordinances you will not be saved, since you came not in by the door. And as for this coat that's on my back, it was given me by the Lord of the place whither I go, and that, as you say, to cover my nakedness within. And I take it as a token of his kindness to me, for I had nothing but rags before. And besides, thus I comfort myself as I go. Surely, think I, when I come to the gate of the city, the Lord thereof will know me for good, since I have his coat on my back, a coat that he gave me freely in the day that he stripped me of my rags. I have, moreover, a mark on my forehead, of which perhaps you have taken no notice, which one of my Lord's most intimate associates fixed there in the day that my burden fell off my shoulders. I will tell you, moreover, that I have then given to me a roll sealed to comfort me by reading as I go on the way. I was also bid to give it in at the celestial gate, in token of my certain going in after it. All of which things I doubt you want, and want them, because you came not in at the gate. To these things they gave him no answer, only they looked at each other and laughed. When I saw that they went on, save that Christian kept before, who had no more talk but with himself, and that sometimes sighingly, and sometimes comfortably, also he would be often reading in the roll that one of the shining ones gave him, by which he was refreshed. I beheld then that they all went on till they came to the foot of the hill Difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There also was in the same place two other ways besides that which came straight from the gate. One turned to the left hand, the other to the right at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up the hill, and the name of the going up the side of the hill is called Difficulty. Christian now went to the spring, and drank thereof to refresh himself, and then began to go up the hill, saying, This hill, though high, I covet to ascend. The difficulty will not me offend, for I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up, heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe. The other two also came to the foot of the hill, but when they saw that the hill was steep and high, and that there were two other ways to go, and supposing also that these two ways might meet again with that up which Christian went on the other side of the hill, therefore they were resolved to go in those ways. Now the name of one of those ways was Danger, and the name of the other Destruction. So the one took the way which is called Danger, which led him into a great wood, and the other took directly up the way to destruction, which led him into a wide field full of dark mountains, where he stumbled and fell and rose no more. I looked then after Christian to see him go up the hill, where I perceived he fell from running to going, and from going to clambering on his hands and his knees because of the steepness of the place. Now about midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbor made by the Lord of the hill for the refreshment of weary travelers. Thither therefore Christian got, where also he sat down to rest him. Then he pulled his roll out of his bosom and read therein to his comfort. He also now began to afresh to take review of the coat or garment that was given him as he stood by the cross. Thus pleasing himself a while, he at last fell into a slumber, and thence into a fast sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night, and in his sleep his roll fell out of his hand. Now as he was sleeping, there came one to him and awaked him, saying, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." And with that Christian suddenly started up and sped him on his way, and went apace till he came to the top of the hill. Now when he was got to the top of the hill, there came two men running against him amain. The name of the one was Timorous, and the other Mistrust, to whom Christian said, "Sirs, what's the matter? You run the wrong way." And Timorous answered, "That they are going to the city of Zion, and got up that difficult place. But," he said, "the further we go, the more danger we meet with. Wherefore we turned and are going back again." "Yes," said Mistrust, "for just before us lies a couple of lions in the way, whether sleeping or waking we know not, and we could not think, if we came within reach, that they would presently pull us in pieces." Then said Christian, "You make me afraid, but whither shall I fly to be safe? If I go back to my own country, that is prepared for fire and brimstone, I shall certainly perish there. If I can get to the celestial city, I'm sure to be in safety there. I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death, and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward." So Mistrust and Timorous ran down the hill, and Christian went on his way. But thinking again of what he had heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his roll, that he might read therein and be comforted. But he felt, and found it not. Then was Christian in great distress, and knew not what to do, for he wanted that which used to relieve him, and that which should have been his pass into the celestial city. Here, therefore, he began to be much perplexed, and knew not what to do. At last he bethought himself that he had slept in the arbor that is on the side of the hill, and falling down upon his knees, he asked God forgiveness for that his foolish act, and he went back to look for his roll. But all the way back he went, who can sufficiently set forth the sorrow of Christian's heart? Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept. Oftentimes he chided himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in that place which was erected only for a little refreshment from his weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that all the way as he went, if haply he might find the roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey. He went thus till he came again in sight of the arbor where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed his sorrow the more, by bringing again even afresh his evil of sleeping into his mind. Thus, therefore, he now went on bewailing his sinful sleep, saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, so that I would so indulge the flesh as to use that rest for ease to my flesh which the Lord of the hill had erected only for the relief of the spirits of pilgrims. How many steps have I took in vain? Thus it happened to Israel. For their sin they were sent back again by way of the Red Sea, and I am made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight, had it not been for this sinful sleep. How far might I have been on my way by this time? I am made to tread those steps thrice over, which I needed not to have trod but once. Yea, now also I am like to be benighted, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept!" Now by this time he was come to the arbor again, where for a while he sat down and wept. But at last, as Christian would have it, looking sorrowfully down under the settle, there he espied his roll, the which he was trembling in haste catched up and put into his bosom. But who can now tell how joyful this man was when he had gotten his roll again? For this roll was the assurance of his life and the acceptance at the desired haven. Therefore he laid it up in his bosom, gave thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey. But oh, how nimbly now did he go up the rest of the hill! Yet before he got up, the sun went down upon Christian, and this made him again recall the vanity of his sleeping to his remembrance. And thus he again began to condole himself, O thou sinful sleep, how for thy sake am I like to be benighted in my journey? I must walk without the sun. Darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep. Now also he remembered the story that Mistrust and Timorous told of him, how they were frightened with the sight of the lions. Then said Christian to himself again, These beasts range in the night for their prey, and if they should meet with me in the dark, how should I shift them? How should I escape being torn by them in pieces? Thus he went on his way. But while he was thus bewailing his unhappy miscarriage, he lift up his eyes, and behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful, and it stood just by the highway side. So I saw in my dream that he made haste and went forward, that it might be possible he might get lodging there. Now before he had gone far, he entered into a very narrow passage, which was about a furlong off the porter's lodge. And looking very narrowly before him as he went, he espied two lions in the way. Now, thought he, I see the dangers that Mistrust and Timorous are driven back by. The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains. Then he was afraid, and thought also himself to go back after them, for he thought nothing but death was before him. But the porter of the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt, as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying, Is thy strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained, and are placed there for trial of faith, where it is, and for discovery of those that have none. Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto thee. Then I saw that he went on trembling for fear of the lions. But taking good heed to the directions of the porter, he heard them roar, but they did him no harm. Then he clapped his hands, and went on till he came and stood before the gate where the porter was. Then said Christian to the porter, Sir, what house is this, and may I lodge here tonight? The porter answered, This house was built by the Lord of the Hill, and he built it for the relief and security of pilgrims. The porter also asked where he was and whither he was going. Said Christian, I come from the city of destruction, and now going to Mount Zion, and because the sun is now set, I desire, if I may, to lodge here for tonight. The porter said, What is your name? My name is now Christian, but my name at first was Graceless. I came of the race of Japheth, whom God did persuade to dwell in the tents of Shem. But how doth it happen that you come so late? The sun is set. Christian said, I had been here sooner, but that wretched man that I am, I slept in the arbor that stands on the hillside. Nay, I had, notwithstanding that, been here much sooner, but that in my sleep I lost my evidence, and came without it to the brow of the hill. And then feeling for it, and finding it not, I was forced with sorrow of heart to go back to the place where I slept my sleep, where I found it, and now I am come. Well, said the porter, I will call out one of the virgins of this place, who will, if she likes your talk, bring you in to the rest of the family according to the rules of the house. So Watchful, the porter, rang a bell, and at the sound of which came out of the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel named Discretion, and asked why she was called. The porter answered, This man is on a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion. But being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him I would call you, who after discourse had with him, mayest do a seem thee good, even according to the law of the house. Then she asked him where he was and whither he was going, and he told her. And she asked him also how he got into the way, and he told her. Then she asked him what he had seen, met with in the way, and he told her. And at last she asked his name. So he said, "It is Christian. And I have so much the more desire to lodge here tonight, because by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the Hill for the relief and security of pilgrims." So she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. And after a little pause, she said, "I will call forth two or three more of the family." So she ran to the door and called out Prudence, Piety, and Charity, who, after a little more discourse with him, had him into the family. And many of them meeting them at the threshold of the house said, "Come in, you blessed of the Lord. This house was built by the Lord of the Hill on purpose to entertain such pilgrims in." Then he bowed his head and followed them into the house. So when he was come in and sat down, they gave him something to drink and consented together that until supper was ready, some of them should have some particular discourse with Christian for the best improvement of time. And they appointed Piety and Prudence and Charity to discourse with him, and thus they began. Piety said, "Come, good Christian, since we have been so loving to you, to receive you into our house this night, let us, if perhaps we may better ourselves thereby, talk with you of all things that have happened to you in your pilgrimage." "With a very good will," said Christian, "and I am glad that you are so well disposed." Piety said, "What moved you at first to betake yourself to a pilgrim's life? Christian, "I was driven out of my native country by a dreadful sound that was in my ears, to wit, that unavoidable destruction did attend me if I abode in that place where I was." "But how did it happen that you came out of your country this way?" "It was as God would have it," said Christian, "for when I was under the fears of destruction, I did not know which way to go. But by chance there came a man, even to me, as I was trembling and weeping, whose name is Evangelist, and he had directed me to the wicket gate, which else I should never have found, and so set me into the way that has led me directly to this house." "But did you not come by the house of interpreter?" said Piety. "Oh, yes," said Christian, "and did see many such things there, the remembrance of which will stick by me as long as I live. Especially three things, to wit, how Christ, in spite of Satan, maintains his work of grace in the heart, how the man had sinned himself quite out of hopes of God's mercy, and also the dream of him that thought in his sleep the day of judgment was come." "Why, did you hear him tell of his dream?" said Piety. "Well, yes, and it was a dreadful one," said Christian. "I thought it made my heart ache as he was telling it, but yet I'm glad I heard it." Piety said, "Was that all you saw at the house of the interpreter?" "No," said Christian. "He took me and had me where he showed me a stately palace, and how the people were clad in gold that were in it, and how there came a venturous man and cut his way through the armed men that stood in the door to keep him out, and how he was bid to come in and win eternal glory. Methought those things did ravish my heart. I could have stayed at that good man's house a twelvemonth, but that I knew I had further to go." Piety said, "And what saw you else in the way?" "Saw," said Christian, "why, I went out but a little further, and I saw one, as I thought in my mind, hang bleeding upon a tree, and the very sight of him made my burden fall off my back, for I groaned under a weary burden, but it fell down off me. 'Twas a strange thing to me, for I never saw such a thing before. Yes, and while I was looking up, and then I could not forbear looking, three shining ones came to me. One of them testified that my sins were forgiven me. The other stripped me of my rags and gave me this broidered coat which you see. The third set the mark which you see in my forehead and gave me this sealed roll. And with that he plucked it out of his bosom." "But you saw more than this, did you not?" said Piety. Christian said, "The things that I have told you were the best. Yet some other small matters I saw, as namely, I saw three men, Simple, Sloth, and Presumption, lie asleep a little out of the way as I came, with irons upon their heels. But do you think I could wake them?" I also saw formality and hypocrisy come tumbling over the wall to go as they pretended to Zion, but they were quickly lost, even as I myself did tell them, but they would not believe. But above all, I found it hard work to get up this hill, and as hard to come by the lion's mouth. And truly, if it had not been for the good man, the porter that stands at the gate, I do not know but that after all I might have gone back again. But now I thank God I'm here, and I thank you for receiving of me. Then Prudence thought good to ask him a few questions, and desired his answer to them. Do you not think sometimes of the country from where you came? Said Prudence. Yes, said Christian, but with much shame and detestation. Truly, if I had been mindful of that country from where I came out, I might have had opportunity to have returned. But now I desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Prudence said, Do you not yet bear away with you some of the things that then you were conversant withal? Yes, said Christian, but greatly against my will, especially my inward and carnal cogitations, which with all my countrymen as well as myself were delighted. But now all these things are my grief, and might I but choose mine own things, I would choose never to think of those things more. But when I would be doing of that which is best, that which is worst is with me. Do you not find sometimes, Prudence, said Prudence, as if those things were vanquished, which at other times are your perplexity? Yes, said Christian, but that is but seldom. But they are to me golden hours in which such things happen to me. Prudence, can you remember by what means you find your annoyances at times, as if they were vanquished? Christian, yes. Christian said, yes. When I think what I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I look upon my broidered coat, that will do it. Also, when I look into the roll that I carry in my bosom, that will do it. And when my thoughts wax warm about whether I am going, that will do it. And what, said Prudence, is it that makes you so desirous to go to Mount Zion? Why, said Christian, there I hope to see him alive that did hang dead on the cross, and there I hope to be rid of all those things that to this day in me are an annoyance to me. There they say there is no death, and there I shall dwell with such company as I like best, for to tell you the truth, I love him, because I was by him eased of my burden, and I am weary of my inward sickness. I would fain be where I shall die no more, and with a company that shall continually cry, Holy, holy, holy. Then said Charity to Christian, Have you a family? Are you a married man? Christian said, I have a wife and four small children. And why did you not bring them along with you? Then Christian wept and said, Oh, how willingly would I have done it! But they were all of them utterly adverse to my going on pilgrimage. But, said Charity, you should have talked to them and endeavored to have shown them the danger of being behind. So I did, and told them also what God showed to me of the destruction of our city. But I seemed to them as one that mocked, and they believed me not. Charity said, And did you pray to God that he would bless your counsel to them? Yes, and that was much affection, for you must think that my wife and poor children were very dear to me. But did you tell them of your own sorrow and fear of destruction? For I suppose that destruction was visible enough to you. Yes, over and over and over, said Christian. They might also see my fears in my countenance, in my tears, and also in my trembling under the apprehension of the judgment that did hang over our heads. But all was not sufficient to prevail with them to come with me. But what, said Charity, could they say for themselves why they came not? Why, my wife was afraid of losing this world, and my children were given to the foolish delights of youth. So what by one thing and what by another, they left me to wander in this manner alone. We'll leave Christian there and continue with his conversation with these three virtues.